Hello and welcome to FPL Happy Hour, episode 33, I think it's 33, of season 3. And we're live with myself, Sham, otherwise known as FPL2Guys1Cup on Twitter.
And myself, Rob, otherwise known as FPL Panda.
Good evening, Rob. How are you?
All good. Good start to the game week. Better than what I've seen sort of floating about. So, yeah, I'm really happy with my start to the wild card, start to the game week, and yeah, with my wild card that I eventually pulled the trigger on. When did I pull the trigger on it? Thursday or Friday? So really happy.
We can look at your wild card and see who you brought in and why you ended up making the moves that you did. If you have any regrets with it.
It was a good weekend.
I ended up doing a last minute captaincy on James.
It didn't work out too bad, did it?
We're getting a lot of lag tonight.
There is a little bit of lag.
It's a lot of lag, isn't it? I ended up doing a last minute captaincy on James. It's worked out.
Nice. Yeah, I thought about it, I kept it on Rudiger. I just wanted to be 100% sure before I stuck it on James. I think being on the wild card, and owning James anyway, I didn't feel I had to go and stick the captaincy on him. Whilst if I wasn't on a wild card, I probably would have only been bringing in Reece James, and I would have probably put the captaincy on him. But because I had that fallback of knowing that Rudiger's more or less guaranteed to start both games, I kind of felt like I could captain him instead. Then seeing that not only is Azpilicueta out, but Alonso's potentially out as well for the week, it kind of made it more likely that Reece James would start both games quite comfortably because of the lack of other decent fullbacks and the fact that Chelsea are trying to sort of keep ahead in that race into the top four. They're well in front of everyone, but there was a point when it looked like other teams were clawing them back. But it looks like United, Spurs, West Ham all dropped off the pace quite a lot, and it's only Arsenal that are keeping up at the moment. So, yeah, I think Chelsea seem to be fairly comfortably stuck in third place now.
Should we have a look at how we ended up doing? because I ended up, if we have a look at mine first, Rob, I ended up doing a last minute move where I wasn't going to. So I was like in 50-50 whether or not to make a transfer. As you can see, I had Saka first bench. So essentially, whoever I had brought in was going to be replaced in Saka. And because I wasn't going to drop any of the double game weekers, and I was going to be keeping Salah and Kane and TAA as definite. So it was either Saka or someone. The moves that I was thinking about doing was Bowen to Fraser. So that was one of the moves. The other move was Tierney to Rudiger or James. It was going to be, I waited until kind of 10 o'clock on Saturday, still hadn't decided. And then I was watching a lot of streams. I think I watched Andy's stream, and then I was looking at stuff on YouTube, and I saw Big Man Backer, who does quite a lot of stuff for The Wire. He's on The Wire, and he was captaining James, and quite a few people on captaining James. And I was like, there must be a reason why all these people are going for James and captaining James. Like, they're
the
all quite
upside, isn't it? It's that ceiling. We knew the ceiling was going to be high, and the floor, potentially, the floor is just the same as Rudiger, isn't it?
Yeah. So I was thinking, okay, fine. Well, look, I've got a lot of people on bench boost this week. I'm not going to be getting bench boost. Let's take the gamble and go James and captain him. So I did that. It was on Rafinha. So beforehand, I was going to go Rafinha captain. Ended up going. Obviously, the downside of that is I've got Saka on the bench. But in any case, if Saka started, James wouldn't have been in, and Rafinha would have been captain. So, I made 6 points on James being in my side, and then obviously the extra 18 on captain because Rafinha was going to be captain. And then obviously if I did Bowen to Fraser, then I would have missed out on Saka points. So it would have been the same thing. So I think I did the right thing in the end.
Didn't Fraser
The
get a
only other
12
thing I
point,
could
did
have
I?
done.
Fraser got.
13. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It would have been the same thing, right? Because then I would have brought in Fraser for Bowen. Saka would have been on the bench. So it would have been the same thing. And I wouldn't have had James in my side. And I wouldn't have captained Fraser. I would have captained Rafinha. So, yeah, look, so far, so good. 60, I think 63 points. Got Kane tonight. And then still got a number of double game weekers. I think 8 double game weekers still. So 9 to play, including Kane. Hopefully it does all right. I think bench boosters are winning a lot this week, 20 plus points. But yeah, if only I held my bench boost.
Well, if you held your bench boost, I'm not sure whether you've even used it this week. You might have liked
I
the look
probably
of
would have.
you might have liked the look
I
of
would have.
next
I
week
would have
more.
done Bowen to Fraser. No, I would have done it this week. I would have done Bowen to Fraser and bench boosted. I would have taken a minus four and done that.
Who knows? Who knows?
Right, should we have a look at yours then? And your wild card and what decisions you made and were there any 50-50 calls?
Who was it? Someone wrote there was a thread on goalkeepers and goalkeeper pairings and rotations between now and the end of the season. And I quite liked the Ramsdale and Dubravka pairing because like Dubravka has the two doubles. When Arsenal have got some tricky fixtures, Newcastle have slightly better fixtures. Ended up going with the pairing of Ramsdale and Dubravka. Disappointing, really, in the end, because Newcastle were fairly comfortable against Brighton on Saturday, and disappointing that they didn't keep the clean sheet, to be honest, because they performed really well again. It's a point more than Ramsdale. When João Pedro's bicycle kick went in yesterday, that was a big victory for me, because
And me.
lots of Tierneys, Ben White's, Ramsdale's out there. I think Ramsdale's about 30% owned in the game, and you have to imagine that 70 to 80% of those 30% started him. It was a big plus with the Arsenal clean sheet wipeout. As mentioned before, James and Rudiger, I captained Rudiger because I just liked that security of knowing that the floor is probably going to be somewhere around 20 to 25 points for him this week. I was quite comfortable with that. And it's only at the moment it's only a 6 point loss
At
on
the moment.
Reece James, but that could be more. Come Wednesday, play Wednesday night. Livramento is really the real big disappointing. He can still do something against Newcastle in his second game of the double, but the fact that I had him there with the double game week meant that I benched TAA with his 12 pointer. Just no chance really of that coming through. Unless Kane gets injured in the warm up and doesn't feature tonight, then TAA comes in. My big 50-50 of the week, and I got it wrong, was Willock versus Fraser on my wild card. We spoke at length last week about
You
Newcastle
ignored the
assets.
data last week where we said Fraser was the asset to go for, right? We ignored the data.
Yeah, so I mean, we spoke about it at length, and I was pretty set on Fraser for quite a while. And I think it actually ended up being because I had money in the bank to spend. Because Fraser's 5.3, Willock's 5.8. And I think I just didn't like the fact that I had that bit of extra money. Like, I've got some money in the bank because of my plan move for game week 29. But I don't know. I think it's just in itchy fingers that wanted me to just spend a little bit more money to get Willock in instead of Fraser. Other than that, yeah, started Saka. That worked out perfectly. He was brilliant against Watford. Could have had more returns. Disappointing from Ramsey. Like, Villa score four times and Jacob Ramsey doesn't come away with a return, which is a bit disappointing. I mean, Salah, doesn't matter that he blanks, everyone owns him. It's just bad for those that captained him this week. And Mason Mount, 3 points in the bag. And you'd imagine he probably starts again against Norwich. His minimum he's going to get is probably another 3 points.
Did you ever think about having Havertz instead of Mount?
I did think about Havertz instead of Mount, but it wasn't the 50, sort of 50-50 call that I had with Willock and Fraser. And even the 50-50 call with Livramento and TAA, I think I was very much set on Mount, like, I'm knowing that there's the set pieces there and everything. I mean, I think if I had Havertz, I probably would have felt I need to captain him, which would have worked out. Like, it would have worked out, but I might not have felt so comfortable. Maybe with the knowledge of what happened with the double game week earlier on the season, where he completely ruined a lot of people's game weeks, and I avoided it. I went Mount that week and captained Mount, and it worked out. And I think that was probably playing in my mind a little bit. Went with Mount instead, and
Was
then
Coutinho ever an option?
I thought about Coutinho, but I think it was a case of I'd probably not had the third Chelsea asset in Mount and would have had Coutinho instead, and probably had one less. I probably wouldn't have had Ramsey. I probably would have gone Gordon instead. But yeah, there was sort of lots of tinkering and playing around to get to something that I liked that could potentially leave me with a bench boost in 29 if I wanted it, but also looking towards 31 and being able to possibly roll a transfer in 31 to then be able to attack a double game week in 32 that we know should happen. So yeah, there was a lot of sort of looking ahead with how I built my wild card and making sure that I wasn't tying up too much money in certain places so that it made it difficult to, it left me very static with where I could make my moves.
And that's a sensible thing to do, though, isn't it? To look ahead rather than kind of
Yeah.
just do it based on the next 2 weeks, all right?
Yeah, so I mean, I'd looked at this wild card, I looked at it wasn't only game week 28, 29, and knowing I had my free hit 30, it was also looking at 31. And like, although at the moment there's no doubles in 31, there's the possibility of doubles in 31. But it's set up quite nicely for 31. I know that if there are no injuries and with my plan move in 29, I have a very good team out for 31 whilst rolling a transfer, which is perfect, really.
Glasto's just put in the chat that Fraser has a knock, so you might get away with Willock.
I might, but Fraser's already got the points in the bank. Willock hasn't. So,
Yeah, true.
yeah. Although, yeah, if, I think that was the other added risk, I think, with Fraser, that he is injury prone, and before Eddie Howe came in, he hadn't played much football for Newcastle. Steve Bruce didn't seem to play him that much. So there's always that risk as well. But I think if I had the opportunity to go again, I would have followed my own advice and gone with Fraser and not worried about that sort of 0.5 that I wasn't spending in the bank. Because yeah, I think I'd prefer to right now. I'd prefer to have Fraser, and he doesn't play the second game, than hoping that Willock can catch up.
Yeah, fair enough. Okie doke. Let's have a look then. So obviously we're halfway through game week 28. It's really difficult. We were thinking about what to pod about earlier. It's difficult to make any moves and transfers, knowing that there's still another three games, and then plus tonight's Tottenham game, so four games still to go. A lot of the moves that people might be bringing in might involve some of the players. So it's kind of difficult to know what to do. So we thought we'll just have a quick whistle stop tour of the weekend's games. If there's, you know, we'll have a look to see if there's any players that we're potentially looking at from there, and then review, sorry, preview game week 29. Again, just a quick preview. The main thing tonight is a Q&A. So if you're in the chat and you want to drop any questions, I think Glasto's in the chat. So if you've got any questions, we'll get them answered. It won't be a massive long pod tonight. Again, as I say, it's difficult to know what to discuss when there's still four games left to go and a lot could change. So do you want to bring up the results from the weekend? Any standout, any kind of shocks for you? I think for me, I was really surprised about Villa beating Southampton 4-0, but it's quite evident Salisu obviously wasn't starting.
And he's been huge for
Does that
them
kind of,
defensively.
4-0 with an XG, what was it, 2.9 versus 0.7 for Southampton? Does that worry you with the games coming up over the next few weeks for Southampton? Obviously, we've got Broya, you've got Livramento. Have you got Broya as well?
I've got Broya
Yeah, so
and
you've
Livramento.
double Southampton.
And it's
What?
I
I can
think
see Newcastle beating Southampton.
the way that Newcastle are playing at the moment, I mean, they're the second or third most in form. Yeah, in their last six, they've won five, drawn one. Third most in form team in the league at the moment. Impressive again against Brighton. It'd be a different prospect. Playing at home at the moment, they look untouchable, Newcastle do. Going down to Southampton away from home midweek, so there's not going to be the following down there. They'll make some noise, but yeah, it's not going to be 50,000 fans, is it?
No.
It's yeah, disappointing from Southampton, to be honest. It's to be sort of just done like that by Villa, a Villa team that hasn't seemed to,
4-0 as well.
yeah, and th
No.
this Villa team haven't seemed to have like really set the world alight, and like there's been glimpses of it, but nothing like what we saw on Saturday. So there's yeah, a little bit of a worry, I think, with Livramento coming up. I mean, yeah, Southampton, their fixtures come out. They've got Watford next week. They've got the blank, then they've got Leeds, but then they've got Chelsea, Arsenal. And I think the good thing about someone like Livramento, he is cheap enough to just bench. But I might be keeping my eye out, with the potential of a bench boost later in the season. I might be keeping my eye out for someone else with a bit of value to come in instead.
Instead of Livramento.
It's a difficult one. My shock result over the weekend was probably Wolves. Although I say shocked, I briefly mentioned last week about
You predicted it. You said it. You
Their
said it based
expected
on
goals
the XG
conceded,
and
and
everything.
that yeah, they have been disappointing, and we've kind of seen it with Jimenez being completely out of form, and them just struggling to be able to find the net. To get beaten at home 2-0 to Palace, I wasn't expect expecting that. I was expecting sort of a maybe a nil-nil or a 1-1 or something like that, but I wasn't expecting them to get so comfortably beaten as well. Yeah, Palace was 2.6 XG. Yeah, it's kind of it. I mean, how do you feel with that result? And you've got Kilman and Saez, haven't you?
The problem is I can't get rid of him now. I have to keep him for 30. I don't feel confident. But as soon as 30 comes by, I'm going to be getting rid of them. Like, there is no point in me getting them rid now with 30 in mind. I think the only options that I've kind of got is move him to an Arsenal player this weekend, but I don't really want to take any hits.
Yeah, because that would then force you to take a hit when a lot of people are going to be taking hits, and that 4 points is, that's potentially probably worth maybe about 10k in rank, isn't it? Maybe at your rank it's probably 5k in rank, but yeah, that,
probably about 500.
But yeah, 20, that
20k
that
rank
points
at the moment, doing all right.
Yeah, when we're going to be seeing in game week 30 a lot of people sort of doing eights and over the next couple of weeks doing eights and 12s and 16s in hits, like being able to get to 30, being able to field out a team and not be taking hits, it's going to already put you an advantage, but then you got to weigh it up.
What transfers are you looking at this week, just as a light thought? Are you kind of thinking about anyone for this week and then helping it out for 30 as well?
No, I'm with my wild card. I kind of set myself down a route of I am free hitting in 30. I think it would have, I don't think I would have wild carded if I wasn't free hitting in 30. But it was at a point where I could get an 11 out with a minus 4, or I could wildcard and free hit in 30 and feel like I would be able to attack 28, 29 and game week 31. So my one move this week will likely be Rudiger to Robertson. And that will be that. It was going to be I can't even remember who I was going to bring in. Oh, Thiago Silva originally, instead of James. And it would have been Thiago Silva to Robertson, but now it's going to be Rudiger to Robertson, which leaves me a bit more money in the bank because Rudiger's like 0.2 or 0.3 more than James. So, yeah, it's that'll be the move I make. And it means I can attack the next double game week where, yeah, Liverpool have got the double. So, yeah, double. Having Robertson and TAA seems like the way forward in that double game week, because you don't, like, you could go Jota, you could go Luis Diaz, like you could go anyone in that Liverpool side, and there's no guarantee of starting both games. But with Robertson and TAA, I think defensively you're the guarantee they're going to start both, because they've both been rested recently as well. Robertson in 26, he missed the first game of the double in 26, and TAA, was it last week he got rested, or the week before he got rested?
I can't remember.
So yeah, I'd be fairly confident of both of them both starting. Yeah, so I'd be fairly confident of both of them starting both games, and hopefully coming away with at least one clean sheet.
My plan move, I think, I'm looking at, and it depends how they play tonight, I'm looking at Bowen to Kulusevski. Although I think Bowen Kulusevski. I don't know. I'm just going to call him fucking Cooley.
It's like the Euros pods all over again. Where you're trying to pronounce names.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think Bowen's injury is as bad as it first feared. I think he'll miss the Villa game, and hopefully no more than Sevilla on Thursday, which is going to be a big blow, and then the Villa game potentially that's what the rumors are at the moment. I think that's my planned move. Go double up with Kane and Kulu for the double, and I think that's probably it. I was thinking to get rid of Jimenez, but where do you really go? Like, I could go Jimenez to Lacazette.
I think it's a bit. So I think that's a gamble. Jimenez to Lacazette. I think with the Arsenal assets now, I think it's one of those three midfielders: Saka, Odegaard, and Martinelli. I think they're the three. I wouldn't even go.
So would you do that? Would you do Bowen to one of them then instead?
I mean, you've got Saka. Bowen to Martinelli?
Instead or Odegaard. Of Kulu?
I'd go... They've got the... I mean, it's how do you feel about Spurs in 30 against West Ham?
Oh, they'll score a couple of goals.
So, yeah, if you...
It'll be a high-scoring game.
If you're going to back Spurs against West Ham, then yeah, go Kulusevski. But
no, I never said they'll win. I said they'll score a couple of goals.
Well, so you expect it? Oh, actually, I think anyone could score a couple of goals against Spurs at the moment. I think
it does depend on Bowen though and fitness.
Yeah,
if he's not fit, we're fucked. Like he is our attacking threat this year. He is our main attacking threat. So without him, we're fucked.
So, I mean, I think, yeah, if Bowen is injured, then I'd take a punt because people are going to be taking hits and everything. There's going to be a lot of free hits out there. Martinelli's someone that I'm thinking about for my free hit. Maybe even going with Odegaard, Martinelli and Saka and just going full whack on the Arsenal midfield. On my
as
free
much
hit.
As that.
Yeah. Because the three of them looked so good yesterday. You can tell the way that Odegaard, he's got a lot more freedom now because they are slightly more sure when they haven't got the ball. So he's got more freedom to make those runs into the box. I think where there's no Aubameyang there, they just seem a lot more solid in the midfield. So he's got that freedom to make those late runs into the box and or overlap Lacazette. And yeah, it's allowed him to get returns. He's had a few returns in the last few weeks. And he could have had more yesterday. Like we saw Saka could have had more. Martinelli couldn't. Odegaard could have had more yesterday as well. So, yeah, he's someone that I've definitely got my eye on for the free hit and maybe even beyond because of how cheap he is. He could represent some great value in the midfield, especially with how Arsenal seem to be playing. But they've probably got one of the sort of toughest sort of ends to the season. They've had quite a nice run of fixtures, but towards the end of the season, they play Man United, they play West Ham, they play Liverpool next week, they play Spurs, they've still got fixtures to be arranged against Spurs, Chelsea and City, I think. So,
wow.
Yeah, like even though they're going to have double game weeks, they're going to have double game weeks where the second game's a tricky one. So yeah,
I guess in terms of looking forward, then if we go for obviously you're in a position where you're using your free hit in 30, but for those like me that aren't, I guess Arsenal and Spurs are really only where you can go at the moment, right? Obviously, double next week and then play in 30.
Yeah, and then they've got the slightly better fixtures the other side of 30. Arsenal away to Palace in 31 and Spurs at home to Newcastle in 31. You could argue West Ham, they've got the Everton at home in 31. Good fixture, I think, for West Ham.
They're not bringing any West Ham players in now, right?
No, I'm not. Like
Yeah, I don't
I've
think anyone should be looking at you at the moment.
yeah, maybe even Villa. Like, yeah, Coutinho could be good value in 30 against Arsenal. And then yeah, Wolves in 31
But
could
then
be a
they've
good
got
fixture for
Tottenham
him.
and Liverpool after that.
Yeah, but then you're moving on to like we know that there is going to probably be double game weeks in 32 and 33, which mean you know there'll be other assets to maybe move Coutinho onto for those doubles. So yeah, it's I think it's not just limited to Spurs and Arsenal. Leeds, like if you don't own Rafinha, like Rafinha's going to be in a lot of free hit teams, isn't he? So yeah, Rafinha, Leicester, Barnes, like they've got Vardy back and they do look a lot better with him up there. And yeah, Barnes, Madison, and Vardy himself could be option. I wouldn't go defensively with Leicester, although a lot of people got Amarty. But yeah, maybe taking a punt on one of them. I think Vardy will almost definitely be in my free hit in 30. And he's probably a decent captaincy shout, isn't he, in 30?
Yeah, I
Yeah,
agree.
if he.
I'm trying to work out how I bring any Leicester players in. I don't think I've got a route.
Barnes,
That's the
Bowen to
problem.
Barnes.
Yeah, I could do that.
Like if you just
Who have they
wanted,
got next? Who have they got in 29?
they've got Arsenal, so you'd have to do it after 29.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think yeah, that's probably something
Barnes
that
looks good.
you've got to make your mind up sort of at the end of the week, really, haven't you? Because maybe have to make that move this week rather than next week.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else to discuss over from the weekend's games or the games coming up?
I mean, we'll have a quick brief look at yeah the fixtures next week. I mean, a lot of people.
From obviously we've already spoken about who we kind of want to bring in based on if you haven't used your if you sorry, if you're planning not to use a free hit in 30. What about for those that in your position have got a free hit, so don't need to worry about 30, who you kind of I know you obviously you're looking at Robertson, but anyone else that looks good for 29 and potentially 31 and beyond that people can be looking at?
Everton, we know have
I guess people that have got doubles.
yeah,
Yeah.
we know that Everton have got four games to rearrange, I believe. So we know that they're going to have at least four double game weeks between now and the end of the season. Like, so in the next 9 game weeks, 50% of them are going to be doubles for Everton. And we know
Yeah.
that from the team news this evening that Calvert-Lewin starts for Everton. It'll be interesting to see how he does. He could be someone that comes in for some people this week. If he performs well tonight, you might find that he makes his way into some teams ahead of Everton's double game week against Wolves and Newcastle this week. They've got at the moment, they've got the trickier run of fixtures through 31 and 32. Then they've got Palace, but then and then they've got Liverpool, Chelsea. But they're going to be fighting now because of where they are in the league. But you know that a lot of these fixtures, like against United and 32, I think that is pretty sure to be there'll be a double game week, so they'll have another fixture with that United one. And I'd fancy my nan to score against Man United at the moment, let alone DCL. So yeah, I wouldn't be fussed about going with Everton forward against Man United at the moment. So he could be someone that comes into people's thoughts if they're on the free hit in 30. Obviously you can talk all day about the Liverpool assets, the Spurs assets, even if you're on a free hit in 30. Like, I think going into a double game week against Man United and Brighton, I think you need to have one of Son or Kane, if not both. I think, yeah, that's very much a priority. And then, like we've spoken about Arsenal already at length, I think, there's no harm in doubling up with a couple of their midfielders. I'm not sure I'd double up on their defenders. There's still things that worry me about them defensively. We saw them very early in the game yesterday. I think it was 15 seconds. It was a simple through ball, and
Nearly,
Dennis
yeah, I
was only
saw that.
half a yard offside. And if he times his run a bit better, he's onside, and Arsenal
Good
conceded in
call.
15 seconds. So, yeah, I wouldn't be doubling up on Arsenal defensively. I've seen a few teams out there with Tierney and White in, or Tierney and Gabriel in. Like, I'm just not sure that I'd fancy that. I think any two of Saka and Odegaard or Martinelli is, well worth a shout. Especially knowing that they're going to have some double game weeks coming up as well.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on those. Good shout. Right, I think that's pretty much it, isn't there? Unless you can think of anything else to cover today.
We
It's
can
really
have.
difficult when it's kind of mid game week, isn't it,
Yeah, I
to know
mean,
who to discuss.
at the moment we're both sort of having good game weeks, but like by the time those last four fixtures are finished, it might turn out we're having really bad game weeks. It's, I think for a lot of people, they've started the game week badly. There's still a long way to go, and there's still a lot of points up for grabs. And for a lot of people, they've still got captains to play in, James, Rudiger, etc. So it's, there's a lot of points still to be had. They're disappointing ones for people that captain Salah, and we saw, I think his like effective ownership was still like 130 odd percent or something crazy. So there's still a lot of people that didn't want to go with the Chelsea defenders and decided to go on Salah instead. I mean, my only hope is,
I
Sam.
was going to say let's quickly discuss captaincy, but I guess it's Salah, right? He's got a double game week. There's no other option but Salah.
I think, well, we know that. I mean, we're not going to see his effective ownership anywhere near what it was in game week 26, but we know that there'll still be a lot of triple captains being played on Salah in 29. I don't think it's going to be an o like it's not going to be over 200% like it was in 26, where even if you captained him, you were fucked. But I think not captaining him is too much of a risk. Like, even this week, like, his effective ownership at my rank's like 120%, and his goal, no, his clean sheet point and two appearance points was still a 3K drop for my rank this week. Because of the number of captaincies. It's like, that's crazy. Luckily made up for by the combined Reece James, like 65K rise, just owning him. It was quite good. I noticed that Fantasy Football Fix, I always use their app for sort of their game week live part, and they've done a big update this week. It's got effective ownership and all your the rank change stats and everything all there in an app, which is quite nice, and nice and easy to read through. So I've just got that here, and being able to just see that instantly, it's quite good.
Nice. Right. Anything else to discuss or mention before we
Let's have a
say goodbye?
quick rundown of the mini league table. Halfway through double game week 28 in, up to 10th, we've got Ritam Chowdhury with 1881 points. He's 8 points behind Jordan Liddell in ninth. Then down to 8th is Shrirag Seshadaran. Down to 7th is Matthias Bjørgv. Down to 6th, Patricia Hart, having a really bad week with 44 points. I think she was 2nd last week. Up to 5th, Paul Welsh with his 76 points so far this week. Jatin Malik with in 4th with 64 points. Pontus Grunlich up to 3rd, 75-point week so far for Pontus. Up to 2nd, Afsal Razic with 79 points so far this game week. And he's cut James Twiddy's lead down to just 4 points because James is having a bit of a rubbish game week with 50 points so far. So, but he's still, I think he's still in the top 1K. Just don't think he's 250th anymore like he was last week. So yeah, that's
pretty
the
shit, isn't he?
He's only, I don't know what exact rank it is, but yeah, he's still walking all over my mini league. So yeah, smashing
100%.
It. Smashing it at the moment.
Nice. Right. So thanks for tuning in. You can find us on Twitter at @FPL_happyhour. We're also on Spotify and a number of other podcasts. And our YouTube channel is FPL Happy Hour. Please like, subscribe and share, and all your retweets are appreciated. Enjoy the rest of this part of the game week and next game week. We'll speak to you next week. Bye-bye.
Cheers, guys.